Rip Brewskies, episode 6.
Take 2.
Take 2. Hitting that intro in 3, 2, 1.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Jose here at the First Round Bite Podcast with our 6th installment of the Rip Brewskies segment. Mr. Sauce, what we got on the slate for today?
What we got on the slate for today? So, everybody knows it is draft season. We are, as of this recording,
2 weeks.
2 weeks, but as of you all watching it, happy Friday, by the way.
That's right.
We are a week away from the second round of the NFL draft because the first round is on Thursday. Yeah, I got that right, I think. But anyway, so what comes around with the NFL draft? What comes around and goes around are teams that are wanting to better themselves. And the quickest way for a turnaround would be the most important position on the field. What's that most important position on the field? Is it center?
It's the water boy. You got to have high quality H2O.
Bobby Boucher.
mama said.
Ripperuski's.
Ripperuski's.
It is actually the quarterback position. All right. So they're the leader. They actually get paid the most in the league. Everything starts and ends with the quarterback. You either have a quarterback or you don't. You either have a franchise quarterback or you don't. We can see how quickly a franchise can turn around just basically by the quarterback. I mean, this last year, CJ Stroud comes onto the scene.
With the ceiling missing, pull up to the scene.
I have no idea what that is.
Never mind.
Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Ripperuskies. But yes. But yeah, so CJ Stroud, he takes the Texans from a 3-win team to playoffs.
Yeah.
Went to the playoffs. Granted, there were some other things involved in that, but still, he took him to the playoffs. So the thing is that this year, apart from any other year, it is, from what all the experts are saying, a great year to need a quarterback, right? So we've got several top-tier prospects. We got Caleb Williams. We got Jaden Daniels. We got Drake May, Jose's boy, Drake May. We got Michael Penix. We got J.J. McCarthy. Bo Nix. You need a quarterback? We got a quarterback. Quarterback for you? Quarterback for you? We got him. Easy. Easy money, right? Or is that wrong?
It's wrong.
What?
Well, statistically speaking, all right, so I'll pull up the stat here.
All right.
So over the last 15 years, there have been 46 quarterbacks selected in the first round, and here's how
Man, how that's they crazy. Fared. There's only 32 teams.
I know. So, okay, so this webpage, it kind of like categorizes pretty much like from 1 through 5. So 1 being a home run. So home run is like, it says here, a bona fide star with championship caliber talent, production, okay, and or potential.
Okay.
2, solid result. 3, mixed result. 4, incomplete. 5, a miss.
Okay.
So, and I'm not going to sit here and read what every single one means, quote unquote.
Right.
But you can kind of figure it out. It's 1 through 5, right?
For sure.
So, anyway, so there has been a total of 23 quarterbacks being a miss. So, that's 50% out of the 46 wow quarterbacks selected in the first round. And then there's only been 7 home runs, like actual franchise quarterbacks. Like, I think they have Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes, I think Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Who else do they have on here? Cam Newton. Did I ever see Cam Newton?
No.
Cam Newton as like a home run type player.
Interesting.
And then okay as a miss, just some examples. Mr. Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon, Robert Griffin III, EJ RG3. Manuel. So those are misses. So the chances of you hitting on a quarterback, it's very low.
Yeah.
You're at a 15% rate as
right
if you're drafting quarterback in the first round, which, you know, a lot of teams will, in the quarterback needy teams at least. But it's kind of scary to think about if your team needs a quarterback because you're kind of like screwed.
Oh,
you
yeah
know, because like we know these quarterbacks can play in college, but how will they fare in the pros?
Exactly. You got, that's why, I mean, the scouts are paid the big bucks to be able to identify not only the strengths but the weaknesses, what they're looking for, these different quarterbacks, because some of them Some got laser rocket arms. Some have pinpoint accuracy. Some of them don't have it between the ears. Some of them don't have it athletically and everything. Some of them have it athletically, but they can't deliver a catchable ball. All that good stuff. So there's so much stuff that goes into it. And I think that the thing that gets me the most when it comes to quarterback play is that just how often there are misses, but also how long some of these teams give these certain quarterbacks chances.
Right.
This day and age, actually, just a few years ago, like Marcus Mariota, he'd gotten 5 years to prove himself. Mm-hmm. That's just unheard of now.
Yeah.
Like most of the time, you have your quarterback for one, maybe 2 years, and after that,
I feel like year three is definitely the year that you're expected to make a significant jump.
Oh, yes.
There was a handful of quarterbacks. I can't remember off the top of my head, but the ones that I do remember. So, like, for example, Jalen Hurts, he got A.J. Brown year three. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, he got Stephon Diggs year three. Tua got Tyreek Hill year three. And then I think there was another quarterback that I might be missing that got a pretty good piece year three. Can't remember off the top of my head. But those quarterbacks made significant jumps, but it was not only just because of their own personal play, but because the organization brought them some help.
Absolutely.
And I think we talked about it last year too. Mac Jones, this last year, was going into year three. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to year four, but year three, a lot of people were talking about, like, they need to bring him in, like, somebody. Like,
right.
That's why they were really pushing hard to get DeAndre Hopkins, because this was his year three, and they were expecting him to make that year three leap with a receiver like, you know, Hopkins or so.
Right.
But unfortunately, he wasn't able to deliver.
Yeah, no, and it's super unfortunate, too, because then you got, on the flip side of things, you got quarterbacks like Daniel Jones, who probably don't deserve that fat contract that they got.
Dude is garbage. And due respect.
Seriously, though. Like, but that's the thing, too, is that there are so many GM and head coaches that their jobs are riding on picking the right person and stuff. So, I don't envy that desire for them. Like, mm-hmm. I don't envy that part of their job,
right?
Because, like, literally, you pick the wrong person and you're out of a job.
Like, imagine, like, selling somebody so high to the coaches, and then the coaches, they, like, select said player in the first round or whatever, and then it's like, you know, what happened to this? I thought he was supposed to be, like, the next great receiver or whatever, and then you, like, screw the pooch on that one.
Screw the pooch!
So,
yeah, no, and to be a fly on the wall in those conversations, like, I've always wondered how that goes, because then just imagine, like your boy Bill Belichick, whenever he drafted Mac Jones,
mm-hmm.
just imagine, like, what do you say? Like, well, remember whenever we got Tom Brady? Remember that? Yeah, trust me.
Well, it sucks, too, because, like, with Mac Jones, because if I'm correct, he had just came off of winning a championship with Bama.
Yeah.
So
He looked like he was pro-ready, too.
Yeah, and honestly, that's who I wanted as a Patriots fan. I wanted them to select Mac Jones, and we got Mac Jones, and obviously we saw how that ended. So
yeah.
It's tough. So, it's tough selecting quarterbacks, man.
So out of this class, out of the, like, we'll say the top ones, the top, we'll say four, who do you think and we'll take out the whatever team they go to, all right? So just based off of their play in college talent and everything, just based off of talent, who do you think has the best opportunity to succeed and beat the statistics to be a franchise quarterback? Because we are, I mean, statistically speaking, it's like, no, like, only one, maybe two of those quarterbacks might pan out.
You know, and I know I kind of spoke about J.J. McCarthy a little bit in mm-hmm. the past episodes, but the closer we're getting to the draft, the more I'm starting to read and kind of see mm-hmm. about some of these other prospects, like right. I said, J.J. McCarthy and, like, Michael Penix. Honestly, I feel like J.J. McCarthy is kind of being slept on a little bit right now.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly feel like he might be the one who succeeds the most his rookie year.
Interesting.
His rookie year.
Yeah. I could agree with that, because he was in a very quarterback-friendly
if you think about it, too, offense. Though, the quarterback-needy teams usually have, like, dog shit offenses, and the quarterback right. is usually, like, the first, like, skill position that they take. So, like, some of these other teams that aren't as quarterback needy, or I wouldn't say as quarterback needy. Like, for example, the Vikings. Mm-hmm. They already have a good offense. They just need a quarterback.
Right.
So the Vikings are in position to select somebody like McCarthy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he's probably, like I said earlier, he's probably going to be the quarterback that succeeds right off the bat just because he's already set up for success with that team.
I could see that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that definitely does make sense because a lot of times some of these teams, they are getting all the pieces in place. That way, once they get that quarterback, once they hit on that quarterback, then I wouldn't say smooth sailing, but they have a much better chance of making like the postseason and having that opportunity at a Super Bowl and right. everything. I think that personally, I think that I'm gonna have to agree with JJ McCarthy because I think that Caleb Williams just has way too high of a potential to bust.
Mm-hmm.
I like the athleticism and stuff from Jaden Daniels, but I think that he's kind of a poor man's Lamar Jackson. I actually used to be really high on Drake May. I thought that Drake May was going to be good, but the more I watched of him and the more I read about him, not a big fan of him as a. That's why I like to poke fun at you, and I'm really, really, really hoping that on draft night that the Patriots pick up Drake May.
Oof.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, you know what's funny? We've talked about this before because I'm not, and I'm sure if you've read or
you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm not the biggest Drake May fan, but I was telling Steven how hilarious it would be if out of all the quarterbacks selected in this draft that he would be the one to pop off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he has like that Joe Burrow type season, that CJ Stroud type season. He like
just, oh yeah,
has this incredible year and elevates everybody around him.
Oh yeah. No, I mean each one of them has that potential. The ones that I'm nervous about would be like the Bo Nix or the Michael Penix. And who knows? Actually, they, because of the fact that they aren't like looked at as the top prospects and everything, they might go to even better like situations.
That's what I'm saying. Like the later quarterbacks are going to better situations because
right.
Usually the teams that pick quarterbacks first, their offense is already dog shit.
Yeah, because their records are dog shit.
You know
shit.
What I'm saying?
Right.
So the later drafted quarterbacks are are set up more for success right off the bat just because the teams that they're selected on already have receivers and O-line right. and running Absolutely. Backs and stuff like that.
Absolutely. It's going to be, man, it's going to be interesting. And who knows? We might see, we might see Bo Nix or Michael Penix or some of these other quarterbacks actually somehow, some way, sneak into the first round. Who knows? Do I think that they actually will? No. It's going to be such an interesting draft.
No, honestly, if the Pats take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3 and then take Bo Nix or Michael Penix later in the first or early second or whatever, I'd be content with that.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad deal at all.
Wait, did I say Marvin Harrison?
Yes.
I thought I said someone other name.
I think you said Marvin Harrison.
All right.
We'll have to go back and look. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so with that being said, we want to know what you guys out there think.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Let us know in the comment section. Let us know where you guys are from, where you're listening from.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've been seeing a lot of support. We definitely appreciate all the support that we've gotten from the Ripperooskies segment and everything, even on our regular podcast videos and stuff. It's been great. So if you are unaware, podcast episodes that come out on Sundays. We don't really have the time. They just come out on Sundays. And then on Wednesdays and Fridays at midnight, CST, Central Standard Time, that is whenever Ripperooskies come out. So if you want to see some more content from us, if you want to see some different content and everything, let us know. Drop it down in the comments below. We are always open to ideas. So, yeah, with that being said, check us out at firstroundbuy.com. Check us out on all the streaming platforms where you can find your podcasts. Jose, you got anything else for these lovely people?
Help us reach 100 subscribers on YouTube. If you're on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or any podcast streaming services with no video, check us on YouTube. Drop us a comment. Subscribe to us. We're on the road to 100.
Absolutely. And we got something special for hitting 100 subs. So, yeah, that's right. Easter egg. That's right. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Peace.